Like I said, if you're not regularly here, we almost are always doing verse-by-verse Bible study on Wednesday night. But we're going to do something a little different here tonight. Acts 27. Acts 27. I don't want to dally too long on any one of these points. I was praying this morning and thinking about what to do tonight, and just got thinking about some things. Don't ask me how I landed on this particular passage for this, but Paul is being sent to Rome in this passage, going to go on trial. Eventually, this will, of course, lead to the end of his life and so on. But they have been battered about by the winds and so on. They've had nothing but trouble on this ship's journey. Notice verse 30, for instance, just a few verses. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, things are so bad, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing." So, you know, you've got shipmen, folks. It's a bad enough storm when professional shipmen are fasting for 14. Heathen professional shipmen are fasting 14 days. I mean, that's a bad storm, right? And have taken nothing, verse 34. "Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. There shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." When he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. I just wanted you to concentrate there. It said back in verse 35 that when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks. Let's pray. Now, Father, we are not even trying to camouflage the message here tonight. Thanksgiving's tomorrow. Lord, there are a lot of nonsense holidays about, that's for sure. But this is not one of them. Lord, we are grateful to a God that we can be thankful to, and we're glad to know the God that we are to be thankful to. So we pray here tonight you might give us some fruitful thoughts, some fruitful time here. And may somebody be encouraged by what they hear. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the world is all geared up. America, anyway. I sometimes talk to my preacher friends in Canada and mention Thanksgiving. And, of course, they don't have Thanksgiving over there. Not like we do. And so, oh, yeah, that's right. But to the Americans are all geared up for, quote-unquote, Turkey Day tomorrow and so on. And Thanksgiving, you know, has a rich tradition. Some people know, you know, bits and pieces, perhaps all of the history of it and all that. All in all, you have to say that it's a grand gesture that an entire country would set aside a day that at least in its inception, the idea was to give thanks unto God. And nowadays, I don't think people have too much of a concept of who they're giving thanks to. You know, something I learned is that man, of course, is corrupt. And I learned as a kid around Christmas. Christmas was a huge thing with our family. And I just remember, you know, counting the days to Christmas every year. And, you know, I would start about 250 days ahead or so, count it down. And it never failed that by the day after Christmas, I was actually more disappointed and ungrateful than grateful for what I had gotten. That's kind of a rotten thing. What that shows is that man adapts pretty fast. And here we are. We're not just Americans, but we're American Christians in the very last days before the second coming of Christ. Folks, we are neck deep in the latter times. And what that means is that, you know, as far as gratitude's concerned, everybody here knows that where the mess started was that when we knew God, we glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. That continues as a big, nasty rut in the human character, even for all of us here. And so we labor with that. And, you know, there's been a lot of superficiality that I've noticed here the last couple of days, tooling around town and checking out, you know, checkout counters and so on and so forth. All the Lost talk radio show hosts, of course, are doing Thanksgiving-type themes. And while some of them mention the name of God, as far as Thanksgiving's concerned, they're not saved, they don't know salvation, and so they have these concepts of being thankful for food, clothes, their job, being an American, so on and so forth. And I'm not, please don't misunderstand, I'm not knocking that. But there's an element of superficiality with that that is should be foreign to us. Telemarketers even call these days, just before I hang up, and say, Happy Thanksgiving! Right? But again, they don't care whether I have a Happy Thanksgiving or not. They're just trying to sell something. Right? So again, there's a good deal of superficiality about this. And, you know, again, I think these days about you know, guys you'll listen to on the radio, and they're grateful for, well, for food, for health, for family, and all those things are right. All those things are good. I wouldn't try to berate that. Minnesotans are grateful for Brett Favre right now. Depending on who you listen to, they're grateful for the country, for our system, for where we've been, at least insofar now. I mean, it sure is kind of looking bad these days and all those sort of things. But some folks are grateful and spiritual enough to be able to thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and for, you know, what He's given us in this country and all that. But, you know, nevertheless, the fact is that Thanksgiving is another one of those holidays that gets buried in cliches. You know, it's easy for us to do that. Funerals, weddings, Christmas, Easter. It's just easy to bury things down in cliches. I wage battle against those cliches. I hate them in myself when I just say something, you know, automatically rather than thinking it through and so on. And there are just several things that came to mind with this. And, you know, again, I started off by talking about how folks can be terribly superficial, even Thanksgiving. I don't mean the testimonies here tonight because most of you, you know, were much deeper than anything you'd ever hear on the radio or the TV, as everybody's broadcasting their special Thanksgiving, you know, programming at this particular time. But, you know, I wanted to talk to you about deeper thanks here for just a little while tonight. You know, among the things that I want to talk about have to do with the things that we have as Christians. And you're going to be able to predict a few of these, but maybe not some of the others. But it's also what we have as Bible-believing Christians and even more locally here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I just like to think about some things here for a little while. There's a ton of these. I'm not going to even tell you how many, so I'm not going to tarry very long on any single one of them. But I tell you what, folks, I am grateful for the opportunity to give thanks for things that are more enduring than turkey. I'm frankly grateful to be able to give thanks for something more enduring than even health, than even family. And while I'm an American, I love this country and so on, I am well aware that Christ and Christianity are going to long outlive America as we know it. And I'm grateful that my hopes and my well-being, all the things that I have affection for and passion for, that they don't just reside here. If the Vikings don't go to the playoffs or the Super Bowl this year, I won't lose a moment's sleep about it. If, I'm not going to say that I won't lose any sleep at all if things go really sour or really bad in this country, but I can say that I am grateful that I have something to be thankful for that is more enduring even than a nation. Even than the place that I live. I am grateful that I have thanks that for things that are deeper than just circumstances, deeper than just traditions. You know, some folks tomorrow, they will go to the same place that they've gone for the last 30 years, forever, however long they've gone. They go there because they're supposed to go there. It's a family obligation. If it's a church obligation, it's a church obligation. There's just so many things that people do for no other reason than the fact that their circumstances are okay, and so they feel some ritual obligation to give thanks in some way, to share a meal with somebody at some point or some time, and I'm grateful to have a thanks that cuts deeper than that. Now, you will have been able to predict this next one. I'm able to give thanks for salvation. Now, again, folks, that goes without saying for folks that are here. And again, that's something that, you know, can easily become a cliche. But think about, you know, what the world has said all these last few days. All of the radio personalities and TV personalities and so on, striving for the spirit of Thanksgiving and thanking God for food and jobs and the culture. And, you know, that first Thanksgiving back in the Pilgrim days and all those things that some of them, maybe their history's right, some of the history's wrong or whatever else. But yet they don't know Jesus Christ, right? Folks, I am grateful that I am no longer a hell-bound sinner. And I'm grateful, folks, that you know, folks, you realize that there are people that are going to hell that are good enough people, but they are just as hell-bound as a suicide bomber. Isn't it a blessing that you have something to be grateful for that's going to reach out, that you have an insurance policy now that will reach out into eternity? You get to give thanks for salvation. But then there's something else, and this is really where I wanted to pick up. Look at Acts chapter 27, and in this passage, I wanted you to note once again in verse 35 that when Paul, in talking to these guys that had been storm-racked for 14 days, in fact fasting for 14 days through this, that he says to them, and he's trying to talk them into eating with him, when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. You know, in that passage, like I said, they've been fasting and everything else, and things are bad. I mean, things are seriously bad. And Paul says, come on, guys, let's pray and eat. And Paul gave thanks for the food and proceeded to eat. And everybody's sitting there watching him eat. And they said, well, we might as well. But you know, one of the things that points out, it points out that you get to give thanks for a God that's bigger than storms. You know, Paul gave thanks to a God that was a lot bigger than a storm. I've been through things in my life where I didn't feel like eating, right? And that's pretty, you know, it's pretty bad for me to not want to eat, all right? But I'll tell you this, my God is bigger than a storm that might cause me not to want to eat. And I just wanted to say that without God, I don't know, folks, how folks make it. Sometimes I think about what it would be, and I'm not the most spiritual guy in the world. I am not the most spiritual-minded fella around, probably. Maybe not even the most spiritual-minded person in this room, as much as I hate to admit it. The fact is, there are times that, you know, when I think about what it would be like to not know God, not have God's promises to rest upon, to not know for sure where I was going when I died, and so on. Honestly, people, I got news for you. Without God, I would be a paranoid. I don't even know if I'd stick my head out the door. I'd be a hypochondriac. I'd be worried about H1N1 and HIV and a little bit of everything else. If I did not have the Lord Jesus Christ, I really think that I'd probably be catatonic about what's going on in America. Everything from the Muslim invasion to the other foreign alien invasions to all the stuff with the government and all of the freedoms that are passing away and the route that we're going. And I still don't have to be happy about it, but folks, that's really not my chief concern. I'm not too interested in going and marching about those things, and I'll tell you why, because I have something more important to be doing. I want to just say that that you ought to be able to give thanks for a God that's bigger than the storms. My wife and I went to China 2 years ago. If it hadn't been, you know what? If I weren't saved, I wouldn't have been interested in going to China. First of all, I wouldn't have been going to see a missionary. And second of all, why would I want to get on a plane and risk my neck flying to China to eat food that I don't like, to be around people that are weird, and all those things? I wouldn't have gone, folks, if I hadn't been saved. I wouldn't have gone if I didn't care about that. Why would I preach on the street or be concerned about the lost if I didn't have a God that was bigger than the storms? So that's one thing that I'd like for you to think about, but there's a lot more. Notice, well, you don't have to turn there. You know, in Matthew chapter 20, you have this vineyard owner who keeps going out and finding workers for his vineyard, you know, throughout the 12 hours of the day. And finally, at the last hour, he goes and he finds certain men, it says, standing idle. And he said, why stand ye here idle? I just want to say that I'm glad to be able to give thanks for a calling and a purpose in life. I was the one that was standing idle when the Lord Jesus Christ found me. I was doing nothing. I was doing nothing in college. Now, I was busy, I can tell you that. I was busy, you know, 18 hours a day, getting not enough sleep and studying like crazy and all those sort of things. You say, well, you were doing something. Yeah, but nothing in God's will. Nothing that mattered in eternity or anything like that. And somewhere along the way, the Lord Jesus Christ found me there. I was idle, and He gave me something to do. You know, back in Noah's day, the Lord called Noah and gave him something to do. And you know, it's kind of funny, isn't it? We know what Noah did in that day, and you can't name another thing that another man of that day was doing except following his wicked imaginations. It's not recorded anywhere in the Bible where anybody was doing anything of any consequence whatsoever except for Noah. And you know what, folks, no matter you know what you hear, I don't know, the Bible says that we have been put in trust of the gospel, that we are made stewards of the mysteries of God, and it's that the stewards must be found faithful, right? We've been given something to do. Now, you know, I know that Brett Favre is on a mission. He wants another Super Bowl ring, but what's he going to be doing in 2 years or three or whatever? You know what I mean? I mean, I know that there are folks that are on missions. The Muslims are on a mission. There are a bunch of administrators in our present administration that are on missions. There's global warming people that are on a mission, and baby harp seal and harpoon whale or whatever people that are on missions. When I went to Bible school, we all had to get up and give our testimony. I remember one guy's testimony in particular. He said when he got saved, he said, I was only doing one thing. He said, I was in a competition. Me and my buddy were living together, sitting, you know, in an old trailer house in the backside of the hills of Tennessee or something or another. He said, and here's what we were doing. We were having a competition about who could grow the biggest beer belly. Well, you know, folks, you say, well, yeah, that's a redneck. Well, yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of people around here that aren't doing much better. It's just something slightly different. And you know what, folks? You know what you can give thanks for? You can give thanks for a calling and a purpose in life. I don't care how much or little money you've got. I really, you know, it really, as far as health is concerned, I know that health is a factor. But as far as money and health and education and talent, you still have something to do. You still have a high and noble calling, no matter where you are as far as a station in life. That's something that you have to be thankful for, frankly, that a lot of Christians in this country don't know to give thanks for. So I'm talking about deeper thanks here tonight. Look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 for just a second. And I was thinking about this today. In Romans 13:12, Paul said this, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness." Now, I know that the word thanks isn't found in there, but Paul there was acknowledging that in his day, at least as far as he was concerned, there's a lot that goes into that, that the night was far spent, the day is at hand. He plainly believed that Jesus Christ was coming back any time. You say, yep, and that was 1,900 years ago. Yep, well, that means we're 1,900 years closer to the rapture, and that puts us right up near the edge of it. And I just want to say that we've all seen a lot of things going on here in the last couple of years, and I've mentioned this quite often here of recent, and I don't mean to just be repetitive, but again, 10 years ago, you know, we saw the storm clouds on the horizon, and boy, things are going to get bad and all that kind of thing. And what we've really seen, though, in the last couple of 3 years is things really, really speed up. And they've sped up enough that there are some of our crowd even that have spooky eyes these days. So you get down and talk to them, and they are, you can tell, they're getting, you know, itchy feet and a little bit flighty. And if things get much better, they're going to go dig a hole and jump in. And when I think about that, I just want to say that there's something here to give thanks for, folks. You ought to give thanks for the honor to live and serve God today. You ought to be thankful for that. I don't know. You ever think about this? Did you ever think about how you would have done if you had been born in another time? Let's just say we got to choose when to be born. Would you choose to be born, say, in 70 AD in the Roman Empire, where it was illegal to even be a Christian? How about that? Well, how about if you, bump the clock up a little bit? How about, would you have liked to have been somebody in Central Europe somewhere in 500 AD? Maybe you could have chosen to be born then, when it was illegal to have scriptures and you could literally be taken and either tortured to death or put in prison for the rest of your life just for owning a piece of paper with some scriptures written on it. How do you think you would have done then? How about 1000 AD? I mean, the middle of the Dark Ages, maybe in France or Italy or somewhere where people are hiding out in the mountains because it's illegal to have the scriptures. Okay, you think you would have done better in the 1800s? I mean, the time when, you know, the greatest missionary endeavors of all time were taking place. Sometimes I've thought, but yeah, it'd be kind of neat to live in the 1800s when William Carey and all those guys were going about. And then I stopped to think, you know what? Those were racehorses. I'm not so sure I could have run with those guys. For all you know, you might have been an abject failure in Philadelphia. So you know what I think? I think it was the Lord's will for you to be born and equipped today. And you know what I think? I don't know that any of those other people would be in better shape to take care of things, you know, necessary for our day at this particular juncture than you are. So you know what I think you ought to do? I think you ought to quit running scared. I think you ought to quit trembling. And I think that you ought to be thankful for the honor and privilege of living in a day when so much is going on and when the second coming of Christ is imminent. That's what I think. Thank you for the honor to live and serve today. You know, there's something else that's worth saying. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 19, that the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. I want to say that we ought to be able to give thanks for eternal hopes and expectations. I can just imagine tomorrow the average Thanksgiving gathering, and everybody's going to get together, and a lot of the guys are going to go, I know not here, but a lot of the guys are going to go out back and knock off a couple, three beers, and then they're going to have a big turkey feed, and then they're going to watch a couple of bad football games and knock off a few more beers, right? And you know what? In that period of time, I doubt very seriously that anybody is going to be thinking, in their Thanksgiving celebrations, I bet there will be pitifully few people that are even considering what would be going on 100 years from now. I bet that there will be very few people that would even be considering tomorrow what would be going on 20 years from now. And you know what, folks, you and me, if we talk about, for our part, those of us that are saved, if we start talking about 1,000 years from now, we've hardly even nudged the needle on eternity. 1,000 years from now, we'll be out pretty near the end of the millennium with eternity, you know, just beckoning the new heavens and the earth, this new beckoning, and we're just going to get ready to go into that. See, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, you know, thanks. We ought to be able to give thanks for eternal plans, for eternal hopes, for eternal expectations. You know, they thank God for food and for health and for family, and those things are noble. Folks give thanks for country, and we should too. Thanks to soldiers that shed their blood and died so that we could have the freedoms and the liberties that we have, and we should too. But it ought not stop there. Because we have hopes and expectations, folks. This is just the beginning. We're still wallowing in the mud here. It won't be that long, and there's not going to be any more mud. We ought to be thankful for eternal hopes and for eternal expectations. The Bible says, He hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. That's a good thing, you know that? There's something else I want you to point out. Look at to point out to you rather. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Like I said, I was praying this morning and all these things started running through my head, and so I was scrambling for a pencil there for a while. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this will be not any kind of a unfamiliar verse to you, but I wanted you to see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks," right? "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." What I got thinking about with that was maybe from a slightly different perspective. Now, there's a lot of things that seem to happen to us that are arbitrary. That verse there says, "In everything give thanks." So, car flats, bankruptcy, joblessness, sickness, "In everything give thanks, for the will of, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And there are a lot of things that seem to happen pretty arbitrarily in this life sometimes, and you look at it and you go, "I just don't understand why that happened. I don't know why God let that happen." Well, you know, folks, I am not a Calvinist. I have fielded that question here a couple times this last couple weeks. I don't know what it is, but folks say, "Well, are you a Calvinist?" Absolutely not. I believe the tulip stinks from the T through the P. I'm a zero-point Calvinist. So I'm not. But I can tell you this. If you start talking about arbitrariness, to say that everything is just completely, by luck of the draw, arbitrary, well, I'm not going for that either. You know what I mean? So what are you saying, Brother Stevens? Well, I tell you this. If I was an evolutionist and I believed that I was nothing more than a statistical monstrosity, I'd go look for a gun. Right, just a statistical accident? Well, I'm not prepared emotionally to deal with that. You know what I'm grateful for? And you ought to be grateful for? You ought to be grateful that there's a plan. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That does not explain why you have to go through some of the things you have to go through, why some things happen that happen, when they happen, how they happen, and by how many they happen. There's no explanation for that right now, but that's not the issue. Your part in the plan is to give thanks. And you ought to thank God that there is a plan, and that God does have the reason, and He told you your part of the plan. And there's other parts of the plan, I'll grant you. But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And when He said that, you know that there's a blueprint. You know that God's not doing stuff and allowing stuff arbitrarily. It's not an issue of Calvinistic sovereignty. It's an issue of God is in control and He has a will for you and you need to fall into that will. There's something else kind of along that line. Look in Matthew chapter 11. I have a few more here, but I'm trying to move along. Matthew chapter 11. I'm talking about deeper thanks here. I don't know that for some of these things I've ever heard anybody at any of my family gatherings back home in Texas, you know, a fairly shallow Christianity. We give up and or get up and get ready to cut the turkey and all that kind of thing, and somebody will be asked to give the blessing, and invariably it's kind of a rote prayer that's prayed and so on. And I just got thinking more and more about it. You know what? Most people go through a little mantra at Thanksgiving. But it ought not be so with us. It ought not be so. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Lord Jesus Christ said something interesting here. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." He said, "I thank You, Lord. Thank You that You hid these things from some and didn't hide them from others." You know what? You ought to be able to give thanks for revealed things. Revealed things. The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But He also says in that very same passage that He's given to us the deep things of God. Right? It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. But it's an honor of kings to search out the matter. And, you know, we get preached at a lot. When guys come in here and preach, they preach us heavy meat and those sort of things. And, folks, you're one of the things that you ought to be able to give thanks for in the midst of paying taxes and just trying to meet bills and everything is that somewhere along the way that God has allowed you to be near the fountain where an awful lot of knowledge and wisdom comes your way and you get to know some stuff. You know, me and Brother Grissom and Josh and Doc, Brother Hanks, were talking about some things here the other night, and two or three days worth of, you know, wrestling things out. I won't go into it all now, but we're just, you know, talking about things, and boy, there's just a couple of things through there, you know, just kind of wrestle through and everything. And we finally got it all wrestled out the other night and sat down here, and we found out that we all agreed, not that we were in big disagreement or anything, but I just think about, you know, I spent a couple of days meditating and trying to work out in my mind something from the Scriptures, you know, to make it fall together, because it bothers me when it doesn't, right? And now that I got it, it's like, oh, yeah. Well, you know what, folks? There's a lot of things like that, I believe, that you know and that you take for granted. I bet there are some points about eternal security and some points about the Bible that you guys know now that are just kind of mundane facts, mundane knowledge, and they are complete mysteries to the families that you're going to go see tomorrow and spend time with. You ought to be able to thank God for revealed things. God has shown you some things that this world knows nothing about. You have some perspective on some things that this world knows nothing about. Nothing whatsoever. In John chapter 11, verse 41, the Lord Jesus Christ said to His Father, He said, I thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hearest Me. You know what you can thank God for? You can thank God for a God that hears. There are a lot of people that have gods that don't hear. There are a lot of people that have gods with no ears and no eyes. There are a lot of people with gods with no mouth. Their gods have no means to act, no means to save, no means to intercede, no means to intervene. And that's not your God at all. You have a God that's alive. And that's a blessing. I'm going to go on here for just a minute. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 just a second. I was intending to just hit you with a whole bunch of stuff tonight, just kind of as they came to mind. And as I kind of whipped through and found some scriptures. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm talking about deeper thanks, though. Like I said, it's easy to get caught up and, well, Lord, thanks for the food, and thanks for my family, and thanks for my health, and, you know, thanks for my car, thanks for the house, and thanks for my job, and, you know, not that you shouldn't be thankful, but if you're not careful, you fall into kind of a mundane little rut there. And there are a lot more precious things to be thankful for that, besides those things. Besides that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 1, 14. This seems like maybe a strange verse to go to. But, you know, Paul said there, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Now, what he's talking about there, he says, there's this big flap among you. And everybody's talking about whether they're a disciple of Paul or Apollos or him or this apostle or that apostle. You know, everybody's paired off into these little cliques and stuff and so on. And he said, you know, frankly, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you but a couple of people. Because he said that way you'd be, you know, busy, you know, trying to pick sides and stuff. And so what I drew out of that is, you know, Paul learned a simple lesson there. Maybe he had been a little upset. Maybe he says, you know, why don't I get to baptize much, Lord? He says, well, I sent you to preach the gospel, not to baptize. And we know that basically proves that baptism doesn't save. I mean, the apostle of the Gentiles is preaching the gospel to folks and getting them saved and leaving the baptism, kind of a secondary thing, to somebody else, right? Maybe the Lord goes, you know, Paul says, you know, well, Lord, why don't I get to baptize more people? I want to wind up in the sword of the Lord saying that I've baptized 600 this week. Why don't I get to do that? And somewhere along the way, though, with this little controversy that came up and one person saying, well, I'm of Paul and well, I'm of Cephas and well, I'm of Apollos and so on. Paul says, you know what? I see it now. I am glad that I didn't baptize any of you. So you know what, folks? You ought to be able to give thanks for subtle blessings and subtle lessons. You know what I mean? I mean, I bet somewhere along the way that the Lord has withheld something from you for your good that you may still not understand. Or maybe it's there to be understood, but you really haven't searched it out or haven't learned the lesson or just haven't been shown it or whatever. But, you know, you ought to be able to thank God for some subtle blessings. You know, Simon Peter is hungry one day up on a rooftop, and he sees these visions three times, and then three guys, you know, come and knock on his door, and he finally puts together, oh yeah, three, oh, okay, yeah, it's a subtle lesson. I bet you've asked the Lord why on some things, and He hasn't specifically answered you. Well, maybe you just haven't figured it out yet, but you can thank the Lord for subtle blessings. And you know something else? Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, just back and forth here, just a few more times, and I'll let you go. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Again, maybe a little bit of a strange verse, but I saw something in it that caught my eye. 1 Timothy 1, 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You know, you can thank the Lord that He has His reasons for what He does. And what I mean by that is some people would look at Paul. In fact, if you'll remember, Ananias did. He said, "You want me to baptize him? Lord, you must be nuts. This guy's been persecuting people right and left. Why of all people would you choose Paul?" Well, there was a reason that the Lord chose Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And apparently it had to do with the fact that what God saw in his heart was that, as it says here in this passage, that He counted me faithful. Whatever else was the case, He said, if that guy ever gets it, he's going to be a wild man for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there's a lot of things like that, but you can thank the Lord that behind every decision that you don't understand, behind every non-decision that you don't understand, for every inaction that God doesn't do in your favor, and for every action that He takes for your good or in your favor that you don't understand, and you just can't figure out why He's doing something with somebody else when you'd be happy to do it, only that guy just, you know, just doesn't deserve it. You can trust, you can thank God that He has His reasons. You can thank the Lord that He has His reasons. I wanted you to see 1 Thessalonians 2 as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Deeper thanks. Deeper than just thanks for the gravy, you know? And deeper than thanks for letting me be born in this country. Not that you shouldn't be unthankful. Or that you should be, not that you should be unthankful. But deeper than just, for that matter, just, oh, thanks for the free ticket to heaven, Lord. And you should be thankful for that. But it goes a lot deeper. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Most of you have this verse memorized. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Thank you, Lord, for an effectual word of God. An effectual one, one that has effect, one that if you put it in, something's going to happen. When you put the Word of God inside, there's a fuse that's lit and something's going to blow. Sometimes you don't understand why it blows the way it blows, but it's going to blow. You realize that there's a lot of people walking around with ineffectual words. There are a lot of folks that have things in their mind from things that they consider authoritative or scripture or whatever, and they're not effectual. They're not alive. They don't effectually work also in you that believe. But you have the words of God that do effectually work in you that believe. You ought to thank God for that. The Bible that you hold is like no other book on the face of this earth. The Bible version that most all of you have is like no other Bible on the face of this earth. It's not like any other holy book on the face of this earth. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Yes, I've preached to you a passage, a sermon of 15 points. 15 of them. Are you okay? Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Now, what I got thinking about with that was that we no longer have a priesthood, at least not an earthly priesthood. We are spiritually priests unto God, and Christ is our great high priest. In the old days, for you to go and give sacrifice to God under law, you had to have a high priest. There had to be the right altar in the right place with the right ritual and the right instruments and the right vessels and the right guy to do it at the right time, and you better not mess up. And what I got thinking was, here it says something very simple. It says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Aren't you glad, folks, that what you have now is a relationship instead of a ritual religion? Aren't you thankful that you have a relationship? And what you do now in order to sacrifice to God is to go talk to Him, is to go brag on Him, is to go do right for Him. Right? You have a relationship. Now, one more thing to show you, and this is not another point. This is to close things out. Look in Luke chapter 17. And Luke chapter 17. And this has to do with deeper things, and I just want you to think about this. Something I noticed a few years back, and I never have quite gotten over it. I'm not sure of all the details of it, but in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, this is the story of the 10 lepers healed. In verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass, rather, that as they went, they were cleansed. Okay, now, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, so 10 lepers, right? And all 10 are cleansed. In fact, if you put cleansed in verse 14 and healed in verse 15 together, they're cleansed and healed. 10 lepers, right? Can we agree on that? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. So only one of the 10 goes back. Verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Not made ye whole. Not made all 10 whole. All 10 were cleansed of their leprosy. All 10 were healed of their leprosy. But it was only to the one guy that he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. So I'm not sure of the distinction. But you know, folks, it's possible to be saved and forgiven of all your sins and have eternal life, healed and cleansed, but not whole. I know saved people that are still crippled. I'm not talking about physically crippled. I'm talking about they still got serious crutches emotionally, spiritually. They still have things they're dealing with. And, you know, I'm not going to, come down and say anything radical here. But I'll tell you what. If you take what the Scriptures say, I know that we live in an ungrateful generation. We are an ungrateful people, and we live in an ungrateful country, even when we have a holiday called Thanksgiving. And I'll tell you, I believe that some people carry around an unnecessary burden, and they are themselves emotionally and spiritually crippled in some ways for the simple fact that they are not thankful.
that they are not grateful. This one came back and gave thanks. And he said, thy faith... Basically, folks, another little parallel here, equating thankfulness with faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I'd like for you to contemplate that because, you know, we all of us have our problems. And I wonder how many of those problems really have as much to do with ingratitude as anything else. So happy Thanksgiving. And there ought to be reason for some deeper thanks. Amen? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We pray that you'll give us fruitful thought with respect to some of the things that we've said here tonight. And we pray that you'd help your people with it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymn books and sing one more here before we go. Let you guys go and get your hams and turkeys in the oven or whatever you have to do. Number 40. Number 40. Have a good day tomorrow. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful. We're glad to be able to have a day just probably for a bunch of these folks to get together with family. I know for some folks it'll be a
kind of a pressure-filled time, some stressful times because of lost folks and need to witness and so on. For others, it'll be very relaxing. We pray you'd help everybody to meet their responsibilities. We look forward to us re-preaching on Friday, as well as pamphlets going out on Saturday. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody.